In our Bibles to Acts chapter 17, we're going to continue in our series, Life Along the Way. Last week, we looked at trusting God first, putting God first in our life. And we looked at Jeremiah chapter 17, and we saw that cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And we also looked at, immediately following in that context, is Hebrews, Jeremiah 17:9, which says, the heart is deceitful above all things, above all else. It's desperately sick. Who can know it? And our hearts sometimes will deceive us into thinking we're in the will of God when we're not, when we're actually following our own course, when we're making our own plans. And, you know, as a Christian, we can so easily do that. We can follow our own course. We can make our own plan and not even ask God, not talk to him. It's just so simple to do. Because that's the natural thing to do. A problem arises and we think immediately, what can I do? And God is just wanting us to go to him immediately, first off. You know, because our hearts will deceive us then and think, you know, I did this. I was able to do it. And then we'll think, well, wow, you know. And in America, many of us think this. Many of us, not even Christians, many of us think, you know, I don't need God. I can do this. I have the resources. I have the funds within my own, you know, within my own bank account right now to go and fix this mess. But even still, God wants us to look to him always first. Amen. And so I'm going to read from Acts chapter 17. And today we're going to be looking at love and forgiveness. Love and forgiving others as life along the way, something that just has to be done in each of our lives. We need to love one another. And one of the greatest ways we show forth the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world is to forgive one another, because we are sinners, every one of us. We blow it, sometimes every day, in our thoughts possibly, or in our actions, in something that we say or do, we blow it. And so the greatest way I can show forth that I am a believer in Jesus Christ is for me to go to my brother and say, Greg, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And then the greatest way that I can show back that love is for that brother then to say, I forgive you. When we do that, that is the greatest, most powerful way that we are showing the love of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Because it just doesn't happen in the world. It's very, very seldom that somebody in the world is going to say, yeah, I was wrong. Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I blew it. You know, we tend to, our nature is we tend to immediately put up a wall of defense. And then I'm going to fight for myself to the death. But anyway, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. We'll read our opening text. This is verses 24 through 28 in the book of Acts. It says that the God, the only God, who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, he does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Everything you have, God gave to you. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he talks about how after we've come into this land and we've settled down in houses we didn't build and groves we didn't plant, we'll say, my strength and the might of my hand did this. No, it is the Lord your God who blessed you. He's the one that gives you the ability to produce wealth. Having determined in... Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, I was going back to that other verse. No, it is he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. God gave us everything. That's awesome. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. The NIV says the exact places where they should live. That they should seek God. This is God's heart. He's prepared all of this. He's done all of these things in our lives. He's given us all of these things so that what? So that we should seek God. And perhaps that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him. You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of a blind person. Feeling our way. And I know, like this morning, I was coming back to go shave. And then I'm in the light, and I come into the darkness. Suzanne's still asleep, and I open the door, and it's completely dark, and I'm feeling my way. Where's that doorway? That's what I'm thinking of here. See, we were all lost. But now we're found. We were blind. But now we see. That they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him. And what will we do when we do that? Find him. Hallelujah. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him, life along the way, in him we live and move and have our being. If he forgot about you for 1/1,000,000,000th of a second, you would be gone. In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. All right, and now we're going to turn. Boy, but if it keeps going like this, I'm just going to read the scriptures and we'll be done. Because I really kind of gave a great message in communion, but the scriptures are so powerful. Don't you just feel it? You know, that is really one of my favorite portions of scripture in all the Bible there in Acts chapter 17. From one man, God made all the nations of the earth. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. He started with one. And now we have multiplied billions all over the world. God is amazing. If you want to see how amazing he is, it's this Romans chapter 5 talks to us even more about what we were talking about today. And just a marvelous revelation comes forth here. Let me read chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, what does that tell you and me? That tells you that I am justified before God by nothing that I've done on my own. It's by faith. Because I believe in him. Because I believe in what we talked about this morning, that Jesus is God, that he became a man, that he died on the cross for my sins, that he was crucified, died, and was buried, as we say, and that he was raised on the third day. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Amen. Come on. Amen. Okay, I'm sorry. But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Brandon showed me a little video this morning about an oxymoron. The wisest person he ever knew had a third grade education. Maybe someday we'll look at that. Somebody quit school at third grade and they were the wisest person you know. That just doesn't compute, right? Suffering produces endurance. Doesn't compute sometimes in our lives. But the things that come our way, life along the way, the things that happen in our life, if we continue to stand and if we trust God first, like we were talking about last, they are working in us something that nothing else could do. Everything that has come along my way in my life was God working in and through me, was an opportunity for me to know God better, good and bad. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. How many of you want to be a man or woman of character? Then don't be afraid of difficult things that come in your life. This is what James said. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. He's agreeing with what Paul is saying right here. And this perseverance produces character. It changes us. It does a work inside of us like nothing else can do. This isn't my message today. I might get to it, but here we go. Where was I? All right. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now this hope is not Hope Garcia. I'm sorry. I just saw you, Hope, right as I said the word. I looked right at you. You know, in the American, when we say hope in America, it means, you know, we think possibly maybe it might come to pass, but probably not. We hope this will happen. But in the Bible, when the in biblical New Testament Greek, when we're saying hope, we're talking about something that is assured and that is certain. It's done. The hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. It is certain. This hope that we have. So when we're looking, oh, I don't have to take my glasses off anymore. I'm still learning. This is week 3 of my new glasses. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. In other words, the character within us produces something that is certain within us. It's sure and certain. Now, faith is being certain of what we hope for. There it is. It's a certainty, this hope. And hope, it says here, hope does not disappoint us. Ask Mike Garcia, he knows. Okay, that's the last reference I'll do to that. Hope does not disappoint us. That's the NIV. I didn't even see the ESV here. It says, and hope does not put us to shame. Here it is, because God's love. Love and forgive others, life along the way. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now listen to this. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners. See, that's what I was alluding to this morning. Just as I am. See, there's not one of us here in this room that can clean ourselves up first to come to God. It's impossible. You can't do it. And Jesus, it's being revealed to us here through the Apostle Paul. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? Those are the things we talked about this morning. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more then, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here is the perfect example to us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, is how it says here, Christ went to the cross for us. And what did he say on the cross? When we go through the 7 words of the cross, what was the first word spoken by Jesus on the cross? Father, forgive them. Love and forgiveness. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. There was a time in my life when I said, Father, forgive me. I know exactly what I'm doing. Have you ever thought that thought? Or rather, not Father, forgive them. Father, forgive me is what I meant to say. Father, forgive me. I know exactly what I did. Aren't you glad today for the grace and the mercy of God in your life? Love and forgive others. A lot of times as humans, we put restrictions on forgiveness. But Jesus never did that. I was still a sinner when he called me, and I was his enemy, and he loved me, and he forgave me. And now he wants me to replicate that. That's how he wants me to live. He wants me to love someone even when they don't deserve loving. I didn't deserve it. He wants me to forgive someone even when they don't deserve forgiveness. He's an awesome God. So last week I told about how God moved so powerfully in my life to show me how to trust him, through the way he provided for me financially and miraculously. I gave Psalm 138:8 where it says, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of thy hands. And I showed how God gave me that verse in October of the year of what year was it? 1982. And how it wasn't until the end of December, actually it was in January of the next year, that probably was 1982, so it would have been 1981, 1982, that God provided all the money that I needed for my school of evangelism. There was something else that happened to me in that year that I want to just share real briefly with right now. Many of you know my testimony. You've heard my story. The first time I was ever witnessed to, the first time anybody ever told me the gospel of Jesus Christ, I was tripping on acid. They told me I was going to hell. And I struggled, you know, when finally someone came back from Youth of the Mission and told me how to become a Christian, I was immediately cleaned up a lot of things. Like swearing was gone. Every other word in my vocabulary was a swear word, but swearing was gone. I didn't even realize it. Most of the harder drugs that I had done was gone, but there was one drug that I just struggled with, and that was marijuana. They say that's the one that you can't get addicted to. Well, that's the only one I struggled with. And so Esther Marie met with me and said, you know, you need to do something drastic. You need to go to Youth of the Mission. And so I did that about 2 years later. Yeah, because 1979, then 1981 is when I actually went. And while I was there, I was discipled. The first 3 months is strict discipleship. And the next 2 months, you're going in outreach. You're reaching out to the lost community. And so 5 months of training. And then I went home in between the schools. And while I'm home, you know, I'm back in my old environment with all my old friends. I'm back in Illinois. I was in New Hampshire, but now I'm back in Illinois. I'm back in my old environment. And my brothers, who I always had gotten high with, are ignoring me completely. They won't even look at me. They won't talk to me. They think I'm a nut. They think I'm in a cult or whatever. They're just ignoring me. And so I lasted for 2 weeks. I was home for 6 weeks. And then I got high with my brothers. And then, of course, once, what does the Bible say? Whoever sins becomes a slave to sin. Sin has this power. That's why we say the strongholds shall be broken. High places shall come down. Every high place shall be. Every stronghold, well, you know the song. Well, it became a stronghold, and I think I got high every day for almost the next 4 weeks. And only this time it was different for me. See, this time, I knew better. I'd been discipled. I was now reading my Bible every day. And this destroyed me. The devil attacked me. He told me they'll never want you back in Youth of the Mission. I ran to my Bible. I opened it up to Jeremiah chapter 1. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I will deliver you. No, blah, 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 blah. I read Jeremiah chapter 1. The Lord was speaking to my heart. I called up YWAM thinking, they'll never want me back. I told them what I did. I confessed my sins to them. They said, no, we want you back even more. All right, so I come back to Youth of the Mission now. This is where I meet Suzanne. Woo! Thank you, Sam. My beautiful wife. Amen. And we became fast friends. Not right away. But the first time we really talked to one another was around the lunch table. And I was on fire for the Lord at that point. Il Akhamov was our speaker at that time, and he was Russian, and he was speaking to us about what life was like in Russia. This was before the Iron Curtain came down. This is when it was the Soviet Union. This is when Andrew, Brother Andrew, was bringing Bibles into this, to the Iron Curtain and all this kind of stuff. And I just wanted to go to Russia. I was on fire. I just can't wait to go to a place like that where God will really use me. And then Suzanne was like, wow, who is this guy? I mean, you know. So she starts telling me some of her story. And just to make a long story short, she was voted most unforgettable in her high school because of her faith in Jesus Christ, because she prayed for everyone. Because when they had prayer, they still had prayer back in school back then, and they said, you know, does anybody want to pray? And everybody in the class said, Suzanne wants to pray. All of her Christian friends don't tell anybody that I go to the same church you go to, because they didn't want to be known as a freak like Suzanne, because she loved Jesus. She put Jesus first. Everyone in her high school knew about Jesus because of her. And I'm thinking to myself, I never even heard the gospel in high school, and I lived in Wheaton, Illinois. How could this happen? Who is this girl? I was floored. I was in love. I was smitten right then and there. So then came the thing in October. I'm the one that didn't have any money, and I'm trusting God for the finances to come in. December comes, and my brother Ron is getting married in Florida. I'm strong enough now. I take the train. I get on the train in Boston, and someone drives me from Concord, New Hampshire to Boston. I take the train from Boston to Orlando, and I get there, and I'm doing good, and then all of a sudden I'm at the wedding with my brother, and there in the bathroom is my brother, my other brother. Here, you want some? Yeah, I do. And I get high. I was devastated. I go back to the base, and something's changed, and Suzanne picks this up. How did she pick this up? Well, I'm being mean to her. I'm very short with her. I yell at her. Was I mad at Suzanne? Was I upset with Suzanne? No. I was dying. I was hating myself. I couldn't believe that I could blow it again so terribly. Have you ever been there? And so we had a what we called a love feast. It's in the Bible. Read about it. They had a love feast. It was just basically where the schools got together. One school made a meal for all the whole school, and we had a word of, you know, a message together, and it was a great time of fellowship, and it would be like kind of our Valentine's dinner. It was something along those lines where everything is decorated. It was beautiful. Suzanne and I are sitting at the same table. And I have to confess, I'm just so destroyed on the inside. And Suzanne is wondering, so I tell her the whole story, and I'm broken. And this woman, she looks at me, and she says, "Michael, you are no different than I am." What? How can you say that? This is how I'm thinking. I am scum. You've never even touched a drop of wine to your lips. The whole school knew about Jesus, and I'm no different than you. We are totally different from one another. I am not like you, Michael. Before God, we are the same. I couldn't fathom that. That's what Jesus did on the cross. While we were still sinners, while we were enemies, Suzanne wasn't feigning something right there. She wasn't doing it because she loved me and wanted me to hook me, because we weren't married at the time, of course. She was stating a fact that she knew. Because even though Suzanne had never gotten into drugs like I had. Even though she'd never been a drinker like I had. Even though she'd never got into foul language like I had. Even though she'd never got into any of the sins that give you a testimony like I had. Suzanne knew that she was a sinner saved by grace. And that's all any of us are. We've got to remember that. Because it doesn't change because we're Christians. I, as a young Christian, I projected upon other Christians that they were perfect because I didn't know any better. You will never meet a perfect Christian. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, I'm intense. I'm so intense. I'm in my office. I come out of my office and I'll walk right by you and I won't even look at you. Please forgive me. You see, that may seem like a little thing, but it's really not, because then you're going to think, what, is Pastor Mike mad at me? Did I do something wrong? Did I say something? No. See, there's all these little things that we can do that can hurt somebody else. And I just don't have time to go to the places I wanted to go to right now. But you know, just let me say this. The one that is the easiest for me to hurt is the one that I'm the closest to. It's a lot easier for me to hurt Suzanne or Joel or Camden or Kayla or Sam or Dan or Amber or I saw it this weekend. We had Aid and Anna and Lena and Silas for the weekend because they had a wedding and Sam and Kayla had a retreat. And I raised my voice to one of the girls. The girls aren't like boys. I raised my voice and boy, did they cry their eyes out. It was Ada, and then the same thing happened to Lena, too. It was both of them. Anna's a little bit too young yet for that. But it's just so easy for us to hurt people we love without our even knowing it. David understood this. He says in Psalm 55, verse 12, "For it is not an enemy that taunts me. Then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it's you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend." The NIV says, my closest friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. In other words, as we were going to church. How easy it is for us to hurt one another. He says, in verse 20, he says, "My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant." And then, again, his speech was smoother than butter. Yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. Yet they were drawn swords. "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." I just read those just to show that how true it is that the ones we're close to are the ones we can easily hurt the most. And that's why we need to always remember what Jesus said or what Paul recorded for us about Jesus. It was, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The husband or the wife that's sitting next to you is not perfect. The son or daughter that you're raising is not perfect. And we need to always remember, you know, what in loving that the greatest way we can show forth the love of God is to admit when we're wrong, to ask for forgiveness, and then when we've been wronged, to give forgiveness. That's one of the greatest ways we can love one another. That's what Jesus has set the example in our lives. And it's not the hardest thing to do, really. It's something we can do. How? Because of verse 5. It says that, whoops, did I lose my place? Romans 5, verse 5. It says that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Which, I just want to give a little plug here, as I'm going to ask Joel and Camden, they're going to come up and they're going to sing a special for us right now as we're getting ready to close. But next Sunday, we're going to start. Next Sunday is his presence conference. We're going to have services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. Wednesday night will be our time of outreach because we have Crossroads homeless shelter that night. And so we're going to cut one night out this week. We're going to have three nights. But come expecting. And our theme for this year's conference is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's something that Jesus gives. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 39, say this. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call," or will call to himself, as I think how it says here in the ESV, although those words "to himself" are not actually in the Greek. This is a reference back to what is being said in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father," the gift of the Holy Spirit, "to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, Peter is preaching to the Gentiles. He's been given a vision that lets him to know that he can go to the Gentiles and it's okay, even though it's against their law to be seen with them or to be associated by them or with them. But God shows him, "No, I want you to go to the Gentiles and I want you to preach to the Gentiles this message of salvation." It says, while Peter's just speaking, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. And then we go to chapter 11 and we get to verse 15, and it says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning." Just as on us at the beginning. Years before in Acts chapter 2. "And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Listen, this life along the way of trusting in God first, and of loving and forgiving others, it's beyond you and it's beyond me to do this. But God has not left us alone. He said, I will send you another. There's two Greek words for another. One means another of a different kind, and one means another of the same kind. This word is another of the same kind. I will send you another comforter that's just like me, who will be with you forever, the Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit. And there's a gift of the Holy Spirit that God has for all who believe. That is to strengthen us and to empower us even more. I want all that God has for me. And he can help us in this life along the way. Romans 7, verse 5 says, and hope does not disappoint us or does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Come next week expecting to hear from God. We're going to be looking at different portions in the book of Acts, and we're going to be just crying out to him, because if there's ever a time where we need the gift of the Holy Spirit in the world that we're living in, it's today. And if it isn't in the Bible, then throw it out. Here's another thing I always say, and I'm sorry I'm going a little bit over today. Not really much, just a little. When I'm up here preaching, don't just believe whatever I say because I'm saying it. Get into the Word. Know the Word of God. Because you'll never know if the man up here is trying to deceive you unless you know the Word of God. And if what I'm saying to you is not in the Word of God, then run. I'm asking you right now, if what I'm saying is not in the Word of God, then run. But if it's in the Word of God, let God do his work in you. And let God continue to pour out his Spirit upon you. All we need to do is trust him for that. Letting go of every single dream. Laying each one down at his feet. Every moment of your wandering never changes what you see. I try to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. And so when he doesn't move the mountains you needed him to move, when he doesn't part the waters you wish you could walk through, when he doesn't give the answers as you cry out to him, this is what he's saying. Continue to trust. Continue to trust. Continue to trust in him. Camden is going to sing this special as Joel plays on the piano, and this will be our closing. I'll come up and do the benediction, but let's purpose our hearts to get to know him more.